So to Washington, to California, and as it turns out, to Pennsylvania, to discuss a sharply divided Supreme Court, which handed down a decision today, 5-4, yesterday, 5-4, ruling that Californians' prisons are so crowded they violate the constitutional Eighth Amendment ban on cruel and unusual punishment. There were four dissenting justices expressing worries that the release of as many as 30,000 prisoners would lead to major public safety problems in the state. We turn to two people knowledgeable of the issue and this California case. Both happen to be from Pennsylvania. Richard Burke joins us from Philadelphia. He works in the Departments of Statistics and Criminology at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Also on the line is Daniel Nagin, a professor of public policy at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. He's co-author of the article Imprisonment and Crime Can Both Be Reduced. Daniel, professor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Richard, first of all, what is the court literally trying to address here? And I gather this has had many, many hearings on its way to the Supreme Court.
Well, the basic issue is public safety and the trade-off between that and the welfare of the inmates. And they're concerned that if a large number of inmates are released, that public safety will be jeopardized.
And what category of inmates are we talking about? Is it simply reduce the number to increase, to bring the facilities more in line with what they were designed for? Or are they talking about specific categories of inmates?
Well, as best I can tell, and I haven't read the decision, as best I can tell, they're talking about a general release without being very specific about which inmates. And, of course, it really matters which inmates you release. Some are a genuine threat to public safety, but the vast majority are not.
Richard Burke works in the Departments of Statistics and Criminology at the University of Pennsylvania. Daniel Nagin, how does the court, and first of all, how much discretion does California have in coming up with a plan over the next 2 years to actually avoid these releases?
Well, again, like Dick, I have not had a chance to study the decision, but from the news reports I've heard, it seems as if California, the state of California, has considerable discretion about how they approach solving this problem.
So let's go deeper into the issue here. It seems to me that on some level, this case is an echo of issues that were raised even in the Guantanamo cases years ago, where the question of security has to be balanced against the question of rights for individuals. In this case, everyone's a U.S. citizen, or at least we presume most are U.S. citizens in the prison system. And in this particular case, on a very split decision, the Supreme Court sides on the constitutional rights of prisoners. Is that a fair assessment of what the court has done here, Daniel Nagin?
Well, yes, that does seem to be the case. But I want to get back to the dissenting decisions emphasized the question of public safety. And in that regard, I want to get back to a point that Dick Burke made. The degree to which this release affects public safety depends very, very much on the way California goes about reducing prison populations and what groups of prisoners they release and how they go about doing that. Because as Dick indicated, there are some individuals who are extremely dangerous and who shouldn't be released, but there are others who are far less of a risk.
Well, Richard Burke, let me put this question then straight to you. You worked on prisoner issues for the California Department of Corrections. What kind of options are reasonable for California? I mean, these cases have been going on for a very long time. California has repeatedly argued they simply do not have the money to build the number of prisons they would need to house 30,000 prisoners or more.
Well, we're able to forecast with reasonable accuracy which inmates are likely to commit very serious crimes, which inmates are likely to commit crimes but not serious ones, and which inmates are likely to commit no crimes at all. With that information in hand, clearly what you want to do is release the low-risk inmates. We know how to do that. California can do the same.
But again, this has echoes of what goes on at Gitmo, where you have disparities between inmates who are not a threat to inmates who are clearly radicalized terrorists. And on a case-by-case basis, the government tries to make a case that certain individuals should stay and maybe others can go. Does California lack some sort of broader parole, release system, rehabilitation policy that is hampering its ability to actually send people from incarceration to other forms of supervision?
Well, I can't speak on the current practices of the parole boards out there and how those decisions are made. But in principle, they are able to make those distinctions in a useful fashion. They can be done on a large scale with computer algorithms. There's no reason why they can't move in that direction, as best I can tell.
Well, it's Richard Burke, who's in the Department of Statistics and Criminology at the University of Pennsylvania. So then what would be the holdup? I mean, you've written this article, imprisonment and crime can both be reduced if it's a matter of computer algorithms to figure out who's low risk and who's high risk. Why can't this be done in a matter of weeks as opposed to years, Daniel Nagin?
Well, I think the dilemma that the Department of Corrections in the state of California confronts is whether they want to focus on incarcerating people for what they've done versus what they may do. What I mean by that is I did have a chance to look at some statistics that the Department of Corrections put out for the recent statistics last February, and currently 17% of California's prison population, about 27,000 people, close to the number that they have to release, are over 50 years old. Another over 5% are individuals who are imprisoned under the California three strikes, who have been imprisoned for the third strike, which is a prison sentence of 25 years or more. And I think the question, as Dick Burke's work has shown, is that elderly, by and large, elderly prisoners tend to be the least dangerous. But the reason they're incarcerated generally is because they have committed very serious
crimes. Right, and they have a prison record, which then becomes politically sensitive. And all of this is because the political sensitivity of releasing prisoners restrains politicians in California. Daniel Nagin and Richard Burke from University of Pennsylvania and Carnegie Mellon University, thanks so much.
Thank you.